There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Right from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Hello. Hey, hi, hello there. This is Henry Zebrowski. What's up? This is another one of Henry Zebrowski's Screams At series. Ah! Dad! Is that a good series? Is it good? Do we like this? I tell you what I'll scream at. Number one, I've been sitting in the toilet too long again because me be whole is at war with itself. I'm also very concerned about the fact that I'm like torn, right? Deep into the world of Bill Cooper. When they talk about the concept of the government creating a fake alien invasion in order to kickstart the NWO, the martial law that we'll need to take across many different faiths and countries, breaking down all nationalities in order to fight the aliens. And it turns out it's not real because we've been following the orders of reptilian aliens. They're not really aliens because they live deep inside the planet Earth. When it comes down to it, I'm not sleeping. But I'm just all blocked up. But thank you for joining me on this interview series. Today we're going to be talking to filmmaker Mark Myers. He created the film My Friend Dahmer. And we're going to talk a little bit about serial killers, about the things that make us horny, about what Mark was eating when I started to speak with him. Stuff that he's going to love that's going to be out there. Stuff that may be my own engaging style. I seem to have got some not-so-pat answers from the man himself. And let's just say he owns up to several crimes. I cannot say that because it's a very hard time right now in Hollywood. Oh, so hard for Hollywood. He does not admit to any crimes, but he does admit to making an incredible film called My Friend Dahmer that comes out tonight, November 3rd, and I hope you guys check it out. I think it's in New York and LA, but it soon will be everywhere. So check it out, and make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Mark Myers. Also, which is spelled M-A-R-C as in cunt, M-E-Y-E-R. I should not have said that. But what can you do? What can anyone do? I'm recording here alone. Again, hail Satan, check it out. I'm going to be screaming at him for the next 35 minutes. Purse. So you were just eating a bowl of gruel? Was that what you were eating? Oh, no, you had it. It was a quiche. It was quiche? Is that what we're doing? I'm not trying to mean to. I don't want to pull back the curtain on the man.
Right. I mean, I did make a movie about a serial killer, but I was just eating a bowl of zucchini.
Let's talk about what really matters. Let's talk about what's really the audience is really interested in is the type of food that you put into your throat before you were forced to speak to me, before you were all pumped up.
I stole one of my wife's favorite dishes from the freezer and ate it for myself before she noticed.
Relationships are all about taking what you can grab. And I think that's important. We talk about it on the show all the time. It's whatever is not nailed down. You got to take whatever you can. Make things belong to you in the house.
I just have like a little area for myself. The rest of it's not mine.
Yes, that's how. I mean, I think that's normal. I have my office. I have this office. I'm covered in sound blankets. I don't know if you could even see it through the Skype. This whole room is covered in sound blankets so that you can. So number one, I can kill a girl in here if I have to.
I mean, it's good that we're starting about marriage at the beginning of this, but I will say that she doesn't realize that in the marriage contract that we signed that she did agree to thou shalt provide a man cave.
Oh, yeah, it's a problem. I talk about man cave, and then I said if Natalie, my girlfriend, if I get a man cave, she can have a lady loft. But she does not like the term lady loft. She actually gets viscerally upset.
What's a lady loft?
It's like a period tent. But I think, again, it's inappropriate. I get it. We get in a lot of fights about that. I don't think that she should have to go to a separate area for her period. I honestly don't. I don't know how you feel about that. Do you feel like that women should be separated from the men on their period?
No, I think they should still exist among us at that point.
And that's a really smart statement.
It's a quite beautiful thing.
I think that's really very, it's a very smart statement. We're here talking to Mark Myers, who wrote and directed the film My Friend Dahmer, which comes out today. And this is Henry Zebrowski, Screams, Mark Myers about serial killers. Thank you for joining me digitally.
Thank you. This is a thrill to be with you.
And I'm glad that you have enough wherewithal and enough wisdom to allow women in the same room with you, even if they are shedding eggs. And I've been to people have tried to explain to me many times what the process is. And I know that there's science involved and it's not magic. I know that for a fact. So, but still at the same time, I'm not really completely sure what's happening because I don't want to really describe it all the time. If
it's
I'm wrong.
Women are a very mysterious creature.
I love the magic.
That's why it's a lifelong project.
To get to know them. You know, it's because they're discovering their nooks and crannies.
Yeah, all their nooks and crannies.
Man, Jeffrey Dahmer. Dude, you were covered. So Jeffrey Dahmer, so we're going to, I think.
And he was not interested in women.
No, just made them so safe. They must have felt so safe with him because he's just so, like, you know, he's free. He's easy to talk to. He doesn't want anything out of them. He doesn't, like, look at them thinking, like, oh, I want to keep you forever. You're free to go.
Right.
Because that's the hard part. Because in the end, it's like what they say about having sex with sex workers. You don't pay them to come. You pay them to leave. Right? Whereas Jeffrey Dahmer just wanted to keep them.
Right. There was no return clients.
No. No, but
that's awful. That's so awful. Those are jokes that should come from you, not from the filmmaker.
That's what I like to get into. We have to just inspire these things. Now, Jeffrey Dahmer. So again, my
friend Dahmer, just apologize at the beginning of this?
That's a very smart idea. Always start with that. Always start with a blanket apology. My friend Dahmer is obviously it's based off of the graphic novel by Derf Backderf, which is great. Many of our listeners are very aware of the comic book. And a lot of people talk about, like, what I wanted to ask you is just straight up a question. Like, who was the weirdest kid that you knew? Right? Because one thing that my friend Dahmer does exceedingly well as a graphic novel and as a film, which I think is the most successful part of it, is the fact that it fucking shows, it really shows that he was a kid.
Right. I mean, that was the whole point, is that he actually wasn't the strangest dude in the hallways. There were other oddball psycho stoners and he wasn't the only weird kid.
There's real bullies. You think about that, too. It's because, like, he had bullies. He had people coming at them. And if he didn't know that just for a second, if he could figure out how to swivel his way around Mad Planet, he could have ended up in Jeffrey Dahmer's fucking refrigerator.
I mean, when I was making the movie and, like, writing it, I was reminded of all the weird kids in high school that I remember.
Is there
from
one?
School. And some of them probably thought I was the one of the weird dudes. It's just like it's the whole universe of high school is just strange.
Were you a bedwetter?
No, I was not a bedwetter.
Did you do any sort of, like, animal, like, mutilations? Were you looking at were you curious about their entrails? To me, that's the biggest thing.
That's the tipping point. There was a kid in our neighborhood that I heard he would go down to the pond near his house and after school and try to catch the snapping turtles and break their shells with a baseball bat.
Technically, I would make him a Michelin star chef because there is many. I like that. Have you ever had turtle soup? It's
turtle
really good.
Turtle is in right now.
No, and we talk about, it's like when I go to restaurants and shit, it's like my favorite. It's like, I like viscera. I love going into a restaurant. You see the guts hanging from hooks like it's fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I'll eat anything except for rabbit. I tried rabbit once and that just freaked me out. I thought that was gross.
You got to braise it for a really long time. And you got to fucking cut off its feet. You got to turn it into like pasta. Like something. You got to really reimagine it. Iron Chef.
Oh, I didn't realize because I just sort of like took it. No, it wasn't raw.
Just gnawing it. Just chasing it down deeper.
Yeah,
I just
hunted it and just went.
But no, Jeffrey Dahmer. In the end, it's, you know, like, what do we know about Jeffrey Dahmer? Is that he liked the fact that he because never was really about the eating of people. But I think in the end, everybody talks about him that he's like a cannibal. We talked about on the show in the last podcast.
Necrophiliac, cannibal.
It's like he just got there. You know what I mean?
But he was also charming and good looking.
Well, he had a swimmer's body.
He did have a swimmer's body. There is some photo on the internet of him in a bathing suit.
He's hot.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people thought. I think if you're going to be an effective serial killer, you've got to also be charming and attractive and
But that's where when you get deep down into it like we have, when you start to realize, and I think it's really true, when people say, oh, you got to watch out for the fucking quiet ones. Oh, you got to make sure they're like, they'll pop up. You never know that they're coming. I think you always know that they're coming. I think when they used to tell stories about Jeffrey Dahmer, is that he used to post up at the bar, get fucking blackout, and then he would just wait. But he would wait, and a part of it was that he was an enthusiastic dancer. You know what I mean?
He was.
What kind,
it was before twerking, so I'm not really sure.
You're talking about
Do you know Dahmer's moves? Well, I do know from the movie he did a lot of spazzing in the hallway.
Which is technically funny. We
used to do that in high school ourselves. Like, we used to call some guy, we'd go spaz. And it's because he couldn't walk straight. Every time he tried to see him walk somewhere, he always seemed to like drift towards the lockers. Like, he just couldn't go in a straight line.
Yeah, dude. And if you can't walk crooked, if you walk crooked, you're going to be thinking crooked. And I don't mean to ostracize this poor crooked man.
I think that guy's now an attorney. Worse, but I guess that's kind of the same thing.
Worse than a murderer. Because right. These are the guys making – they're the guys on Air Fuck One. They're the ones up there with Bill Clinton on the airplane going over with sex parties, kids dressed up like as lambs. It's like him, Benedict Cumberbatch. There's a bunch of people that are in these circles that just hang out. And Benedict Cumberbatch, when he is on Air Fuck One, is dressed as Sherlock Holmes.
What did you have for lunch? Because I want to have what you just ate.
I drank an entire gallon of cold brew from Starbucks. I am fucking juiced up. And then I've been in a garage because we just did a fundraiser, a clothing drive for Halloween. And so I've been digging through all these clothes that people donated for us in various locations up in Northern Hollywood. And everything's full of fucking spiders. And that's the one thing about Los Angeles I do not particularly enjoy is how many fucking spiders are here.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I guess where I stay when I'm there, there's not many spiders in that house.
Oh, you go to fancy place, huh?
Yeah, we got one friend that I get to stay with, and I got like a nice bedroom because they're East Coasters, so they have a room for the fellow friends and family to come visit.
Exactly, that is nice, and they're generous.
Oh, I did stay at the Standard Hotel once, like an extra day, and it just kind of gave me the EBGBs.
Well, you can have a child in there if you're a lady and you just run your vagina over that top sheet.
That's what it felt like. There was just a lot of shit that went down before I got in that bed.
Get rid of the top sheet. Yeah. Does your wife, when she's asleep, like late at night, does she know you're sitting and thinking about, because at the time you're trying to tell the childhood story of Jeffrey Dahmer, right? So a lot of it's like, you're not talking about the sawed off cocks. You're not talking about the bone altar. You're not deep into level 9 Jeffrey Dahmer. He's been doing this for a couple years. He's all permanently
whacked
out.
It's like level 2, level 3 Dahmer.
Dahmer. So you're just kind of dealing with that dude in your head where it's like, I feel a lot of times it's like when I'm with my girlfriend and I'm in the middle, like Robert Picton, right? We did this whole long thing about how he murdered 49 sex workers and he would give them the meat parts that he was done with. He used to chop them up and feed them to his pigs, right? Because he had this huge pig farm. And he would also take a lot of the extra meat from the sex workers when he was done dismembering them and give them to rendering plants in order
That's not kosher.
No! A rabbi was nowhere near there.
No,
dude. I know, and they went down. But a lot of the times, like you talk, like these are things where I would like say this to Natalie, being like, "So what they?" And they found out, you know, like one factoid we realized is that for 2 years they had pork meat that was served in Western Canada that may have possibly been contaminated by human meat, and they didn't tell anybody, and they knew that it was in circulation.
You know what that reminds me of is that I've met all kinds of people sharing this movie.
Of course.
And so many people are fascinated by serial killers and they're experts in the Jeffrey Dahmer that we all know. One person the other night came up to me after a screening and told me about how I didn't know this, that he used to take the human body that he had at home and brought in his lunch meat, and he would eat it at lunch at his job.
Oh, yeah. He gave his neighbors sandwiches that he made from his fucking house.
That's just...
He went Looney Tunes. I'm going to just straight up say right now, and I think it's important that you're here, he went too far. And I think that I denounce it.
My movie precedes the sandwiches.
No, it's the origin story.
It's the origin before he got there. Yeah, he hadn't eaten anyone yet.
But man, you know, because like my thing is, and maybe I'm weird. Like I'm a different type of guy. I like them awake. Like I like my girlfriend to be awake and responding. I like the idea of her like saying stuff like, "You can't keep me forever in your prison of nightmares." You know, which it didn't seem to work for Dahmer, because I feel like at some point he must have laid the line being like, oh, you know, it'd be kind of nice. You know what would be nice? Well, it'd be nice, Jeff, if like I could like take your cock and keep you.
Am I playing the other guy at this point? Is that what's about to happen?
I could just talk for, I end up talking for hours alone. You know what I mean? Just screaming.
If you need me to get into character, I guess I've done everything else now with this movie. This is the one spot I have not gone.
I just wish we could be next to each other and I could just dress you up as one. I mean, like, and now you're playing the part of Jeffrey Dahmer's victim number 7. And me, I'm horny old Jeffrey Dahmer. But I don't want to do that. It's not going to help sell the movie.
Bucket
you know,
list.
That's what this is about, is selling movies.
Yeah, I mean, you know what matters if people come with all of their weird fascinations about Jeffrey Dahmer and they bring it to the theater.
Bring it to the theater.
Yeah, and just bring it to the theater and have all that crazy shit swirling around your head while you watch this about this teenage boy.
But don't you, did you not feel...
in the woods waiting for a jogger to run past his house. Sorry. And he goes by Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Just knock him. Knock him out. And it's like you have that little fucking weird ass shed. You know what it is that, again, it's about movies, movie magic. And now what you're saying is that, yes, the thing is about true crime experts. We deal with them 24/7. You're fucking staring at one. You go out there. It's like every movie I make, I am forced to watch my friend Dahmer no matter what. With that playing in my head, I know all of the crime scene photos. The dude's bent back, headless, cocks in a fucking in the jaw, in the big pot, sitting on the stove. And that's all I'm thinking about. So you have a challenge.
You're focused on the jars of heads and penises, and I was really only making a movie about dead cats and dead roadkill and squirrels and opossums in jars. So he got from there all the way to dicks.
But that's your story to tell.
That's my story. That's my story. That's why my story is different than all other stories. Why is this Jeffrey Dahmer story different than all other? It's like a Passover
question. It's like, why is this? It's fun. I think though that the second movie you could do could be about a bunch of animated cocks in a big pot. Sell it to Pixar. This is
Seth Rogen may just Seth Rogen's already making that, I think.
Ugh.
Pot of cock.
Sausage Party could suck my dick. That was fucking terrible. but no, it's about selling movies. And you know what right now? People in this climate, people are so excited for the films. So people are so excited about filmmakers and the things that they've done.
We're so sexy, us filmmakers. Oh, yeah, we're just dude. Yeah.
Do you have any crimes you want to like come clean about right
me
now?
Too?
Yeah. Before this movie comes out.
Oh God, my crimes are so small in comparison to like the ones that were
the big ones.
People, yeah.
Yeah, the big crimes. My crime is I work
what was
too
your
hard.
Biggest crime?
I work you too worked. Hard. I care too much.
I care a lot. Yeah. That's probably and that's in the movie. I care a lot about these people, even the bad ones.
Well, that's important.
I tried to break rules when I was young. I remember they saw a sign at the Grand Canyon where it said $1,000 fine or something for the removal of any rocks or something from the Grand Canyon. So the first thing I did when I got to the edge was like, I'm reaching over there and I'm going to take a couple
of them. Of course you were. Of course you were.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You have to.
I don't think it really is what they weren't really referring to the like hand-sized rocks beyond the fence, but I was determined to bring a couple of those home.
Park ranger just shows up at your house. You understand that the statute of limitations for that crime is 29 years, and then just strips and delouses you, just pepper sprays you, because that's what they're allowed to do.
And somehow that evolved into home invasion. I don't really know.
This is my job. This is what I bring to the table. Now, my friend Dahmer, do you feel like that if you met him as a kid, you would have been friends with him? Like, what was your group in school? Were you in a certain mix circuit?
I bounced around in a bunch of different groups. Some were in my school and some were not. However, I have a feeling I would have been friends with him, had a couple episodes of hanging out. and wouldn't have thought anything about it. I thought, oh, that guy's weird, but he's kind of harmless. And I think that was kind of what was most creepy about him from this perspective, looking back, is that
he sidles right up.
He just hangs out. Yeah, he gets in your car and he's your buddy and he acts like a zombie in the basement with the rest of the friends and they joke around. They have no idea what's going really, what's
deep,
really
deep down.
Yeah, in his head. Yeah.
I actually wonder about that because I remember one time, so my dad was a cop, right? And so we had everything that was illegal for free because that's what happens when you grow up in New York City and your dad's a cop. So we had one of those cable boxes that you could flip a switch on the back and you get all the free channels, you get all the pay-per-views, you get all the porno channels all on the back of it. And I had my Little League team over one time and we're hanging out, no parents. And I was like, gentlemen, please come with me to the living room. And they all sat and I was like, look, I present to you Dick in Pussy. I like flipped the switch, showed everybody porno, and we sat in silence for about 5 minutes. And then we shut it off because it felt very awkward. We're like, well, this is over. Thank you. We're done with this. But I do, what I would like to think is that at that moment, I would have known if one of them was a serial killer.
It would have been nice. You know, I
Wouldn't it have been nice?
I don't know. Porn was very hard to get in growing up in the 80s. But I do remember you'd sit there with the remote control and click back and forth on the Playboy channel to just sort of look between the static of the channel that they didn't own
you
at home.
You see one sort of nipple.
You want a nipple, and then it goes back to static. And then you flip it back again, nipple, and then back to static.
It's like, whoa, this is incredible. But that was back
this
in the day
when
a part of the pornography experience was about the foraging of it. It was about the making of it. It was like when you used to have to get milk. You have to enjoy the milking of the cow.
I took my dad's Playboys. I remember when I found them, and I this must have been in the 70s, and had decided that, I want them. And I stored them in the woods behind the house underneath a rock, thinking that was going to be a great place.
So
then
pissed.
Came back a couple weeks later and they're all deteriorated. And I didn't understand. Like, where did my Playboys go?
It's a homeless man jerking off next to him. Kid, you're a lifesaver. So good to have you back.
We had this, we had a siren that you could plug into the car lighter that they bought somewhere at a thrift store, one of the friends, and we put it on the top of the car and they'd just drive down the like country roads where we grew up at night and just get people to pull over and just drive past them. They didn't understand.
That's awesome, though. Now, can I ask a question about Ross Lynch? Now, he comes from the world of Disney, right? Now, he's playing a serial killer. Now, is he ready to name some names like Corey Feldman? Or is he a part of the big, gigantic system happening over there?
You might be digging in the wrong spot. That guy, I think he is just one of the most stand-up individuals I've met.
That's why you need somebody out there to be naming names and busting down walls. Getting in there, and he puts on a costume. He dresses as Mickey Mouse. He's hanging out there again with Bill Clinton. Steve Buscemi's on Airfuck One. Benedict Cumberbatch, they're all just hanging out.
There's a lot of creeps in this world, isn't there? It's like the whole world is full of creeps and perverts.
That's how I make my living.
I know.
I
realize that it's a good subject matter for entertainment too.
It's brutal, right? Because it's very interesting. I think a lot of the reason why people are interested in serial killers is because of what you even talking about with this, is about the fact that people look at a dude that does seem like he could have been a totally normal guy, and then what makes him flip? What makes him change? What makes him go, like, look into the abyss and then decide to jump into it? Because all of us have done that. We've all at least looked a little in the peephole of the true darkness within. And then you wonder, is it going to happen to me?
Yeah, everyone's, like, a little perverted. We all know everyone's got, like, their tendencies, their quiet little things that they may be thinking about. But they don't go as far as that guy.
They just don't. I mean, as far as we know. Because it also, think about, because serial killers, they say there's, 50 active serial killers at any given point in the United States of America.
Oh, is that, like, is that the survey?
Oh,
like
yeah.
50?
Well, if you just look at aberrant behavior.
That's one per state.
Oh, yeah. There's at least one per state. We got one in Jersey.
But there's a couple states that have a couple at a time, and other states don't have any.
Also, never mind the fact of the internet, I can pretty much guarantee there's several of them working together. When you have like people like the Toy Box Killer that would go and pick people up with an 18-wheeler, he had accomplices. Robert Picton had a whole system of accomplices, people that went and helped them out, like got them victims, would go out there, and then they beg off, and then basically they go and flip to the government to get out of serving time.
Facebook. There's like a serial killer Facebook group.
There has to be. We had one. For last podcast left, the Facebook group, I pretty much guarantee half those people were serial killers. Or at least they were ready to go. They were ready to jump.
I mean, maybe all of your entire listening audience are all serial killers. That's quite possible.
Now, did you notice...
That's why you're so successful.
That's why I'm so successful, because we're catering to our audience. We know how to entertain them. Now, did you notice that when Ross Lynch was playing Jeff, would he do stuff like break into people's trailers just to watch them sleep, or... Has he since said that he's having dark...
about some of the other actors in the cast more than Ross, actually.
More than him, yeah, because he's all put together. But that's my problem. That's what makes you scared.
Yeah.
As you're scared, he's just sitting there.
Alex Wolff is a crazy dude.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. Well, you have to be, in a certain extent, to be in this fucking business that is essentially just the mouthpiece of the government. That's all we are. Do you realize that, right? We're a part of it in terms of what the Weinstein scandal's happening and all this stuff. It's a weird-ass struggle that you pull back the mask. There's we have been selling the government's idea and their ideas to the United States and their policies for 60 years.
Do you think right now a serial killer is listening to this podcast while he's in the act of doing a crime?
I can guarantee that somebody somewhere is listening to the podcast and just chuckling while he's sawing a foot off a leg.
And if you do you now cut to a commercial and then come back, like how does that work at this very moment?
We're just
with them right now.
Well, absolutely. Well, he just sits there and he's just like, "Come on, you fucking bitch, you bitch." Casper mattresses. You know what?
You'd be like a great wingman for that dude.
Technically, I'm a great mouthpiece. I can provide distraction because I make a lot of noise.
You guys, you go across the street. You make a lot of noise.
Who's that screaming man? I have to, the part of it too is that when I have people walk by me, I had someone walk past me in the common area of my apartment building, and it was a little kid, and she pointed at me and she said, "Is that the man who yells?" Which made me feel good.
That's fantastic.
That's my answer. That's my aesthetic. I'm trying to think of any other questions about, like, so, because again, my friend Dahmer is not really supposed to be about serial killers in general. It's not about, like, the actual, like, viscera and details of the crime. You're talking about the eggs and how the eggs get fertilized.
This movie is like the embryonic stage, the making of the monster. You're looking at the monster taking shape right before your eyes.
I like the idea of it level 2 and 3 Dahmer.
It's level 2, 3. Yeah. And oh my God, there's a video game that's probably going to come out because of this podcast, isn't there?
That would be so kind of pretty sweet. I'd be down. But the Jeffrey Dahmer game is just called, like, drink. It's just you drink until you're blackout, and then it's you drunkenly trying to put a drill in a dude's forehead. You know what I mean? You have to get the thing in there, but the screen is moving because you're hammered, and he's wriggling around, and you're like, "Stay, please stay." You know, like, saying horrible shit.
Hopefully it comes in virtual reality, too, so it's like a fully immersive situation.
Wasn't there a movie like that called Scanners? Not the psychic one. There was another one, or Shockers, that was about a video game with Eddie Furlong in it and a dude with a mohawk, and a part of it was that it was a virtual reality game where you'd kill people, and then you'd wake up, and you had really done it.
You had really killed them in real life, too?
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a great idea. I don't recall the movie, but now I'm embarrassed because it feels like something I would have enjoyed.
It's something like that.
I'm gonna dig it up. Yeah,
it's pretty sweet. What was the other one, too, that drives me crazy? Think about
I want to know what are the more weird things that you did in high school.
You know, the thing was that I always got it out. The difference between being a performer, I think a lot of it seemed too, specifically with Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy. If John Wayne Gacy was just like allowed to be gay, because that's a part of it too, is if you just let them, they weren't allowed to be themselves for where they were from. They had to push it all down so they couldn't express anything. Where it's like me, I have to be told to shut the fuck up. I'm constantly expressing my bullshit.
Yeah, you would not really be successful as a serial killer because I think you make too much noise, and there's probably a quiet time during the whole thing.
There
and you
has
just
to
be like, yeah, you'd be still known as
just screaming with laughter.
Or you need like a lot of property so you could be far out.
I mostly want to do it would be more like in my head, what would be fun is getting the ultra rich, putting dog collars on them, strip them down totally nude, and put them out in the forest. And then we throw them out in the forest, and then I pay other people to go hunt them with tracking rifles. And what I do is, instead of murdering them, I hit them with tranquilizer darts so they go to sleep. So then we release them again. And again,
the whole time just keeps getting you more and more horny. Like the whole thing, the whole thing you find more and more arousing.
Deeply. Just me, my girlfriend sitting on her own throne. I have Wendy, my dog, sitting in a little throne ourselves. We're watching the video feed of Rupert Murdoch and Donald Trump Jr. running through the forest, just covered slick with oil, because that's what I wanted them to be like, with little electrified collars on, just like getting chased around by professional hunters.
See, I told you, everybody's a pervert. That's what it is.
It's just how you express yourself. And I think it's
how you, but we're all just nervous creatures of nerves and emotion. And sometimes it gets all wacky.
But it's okay to think about these things. This is where I get yelled at all the time by Marcus and Kissel and everybody else. Why?
They're always trying to keep you in a straight line.
That's not the way you... Where they say bad thoughts. You're having bad thoughts. These are all bad thoughts. My therapist calls them intrusive thoughts. But when it comes down to it, it's like, let me just think the thoughts. And then it's like I did them, and then I don't have to do them.
Right. It's safer to think it than to do it.
Let me just think of it and draw little pictures of it.
Right.
Maybe write a little story about it.
Right. And then email your other serial killer friends that are all in your Facebook group together.
And they're going to love this movie. And they love this movie. I really do think they will.
What's been really fun about the movie too is that I've been able to slip in, because they're all just numbskull high school kids too, a couple just bad jokes. I mean good jokes, but they're just like politically incorrect jokes.
But they get to be kids, because when they're kids, that's a part of, to me, the charm of the original graphic novel, Anna. What you're doing is that it's about kids. It's like,
What's the difference between parsley and pussy?
What?
Well, you gotta see the movie to find out. No, that's bad. nobody eats pussy. And you know what? I remember that joke because my mom actually. I was a kid and we were in the backyard of my house at like a party, and my mom went up to a good friend and said, "Mark, tell Lisa that joke you told me that you learned at school." And she was thinking about the other joke, the knock-knock joke, and I didn't understand. God. I was like eight. I was like, what's the difference between parsley and pussy?
So you just dropped it. They're like, oh, no, not your schoolyard like it's a prison joke. My favorite new schoolyard joke I heard recently on the Craig Ferguson show was traveling salesman is going from house to house, and he knocks on a door, and door opens up, and it's a 10-year-old boy. But he's got panties on, a bra, he's got a wig on, he's covered in makeup, he's smoking a cigarette, and he's got a big glass of scotch. And the traveling salesman's like, what the hell is going on here? Tell me, son, are your parents home? And the kid looks at him and goes, what the fuck do you think? Makes me laugh quite a bit. I was laughing a lot. So my friend Dahmer comes out tonight.
Yeah, like after I get off with you, whenever that happens, it could be in 5 hours, or we could just keep bullshitting.
This is what I do.
But whenever that happens, I got to go head out of the theater and do a Q&A because it's opening night for the movie. So it's really cool. It's been a long freaking journey to get this movie made. I found the book 6 years ago, and tonight it opens in theaters after sharing in film festivals for a number of months. But now it's just on the marquee and just people just gonna go see it, hopefully.
Congrats, everywhere. Man. That's great. Honestly, that's really cool. I'm so glad. I mean, it's like having a horrible child making a film.
That hopefully just keeps paying you back for a long time.
It better. It's like having kids in Hollywood and putting them out to work like poor Ross Lynch was. That's the problem. In the end, they're just making money for their parents.
Yeah, they're just annuities.
There's just annuities. I mean, can you also tell him to tell Jake Paul to get his hold off of my niece? Because Jake Paul is going to be a cult leader very, very soon.
But that's maybe that's a subject of my next movie, as a cult leader. That might be actually kind of a good idea.
I could feed you a bunch of horseshit about that, because we're also technically experts on cults as well. We have a lot of stuff, and it's difficult. It's the cults are they're fun. They give you structure.
I met someone the other day who didn't know about Waco, and they were, you know, it was like, there's like all these younger people that are fans of Ross, where there's a whole generation of weird shit news that just preceded them, and they don't even realize it existed.
So, so fresh.
A lot of kids that aren't listening to your show that are like under 23, 24, unless they found out about our movie and now they know, but before the movie, they didn't even know about Jeffrey Dahmer.
What's nice about having Ross in the film and then with the film being about what it is and how it starts that gateway, because number one, what's cool is it leads them to serial killers and then it leads them to underground comics. It leads them to like a couple of things that are very difficult. Unless you have somebody who could key you into it, you would never know about it, and it could potentially either ruin their life or make it better.
Probably will help them. I realize it's kind of nice to have a little subversiveness in your life, even as a kid, and read some, you know, screwed up stories when you're young. It's good to sort of not be so proper all the time. You're still just being a kid. I actually met another audience member the other day who she had an army jacket on, and she came up to me and she's like, I need you to look at my jacket. On the back of her jacket was a profile illustration of the real Jeff Dahmer, and underneath it just said man eater.
Yep.
And she wanted me to like pose with it.
Yeah, dude, this shit is for real. It's real. No, there's a whole industry built around how sexy people find serial killers.
Yeah.
And it's a
because it's the ultimate jerk.
He's a complete total bad boy, and it's so hard to date them when they're in jail, and what is better than an unattainable human being?
Right, it's like that girlfriend I had in Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. Because like you can't be, it makes you extra horny just thinking about her because she's super far away and you can't get to her.
That girlfriend I had in Buffalo was before I got married, though.
With the palate. And now you're a good man. You're committed. You're making this film, my friend Dahmer. It's coming out tonight. Now I'm glad you let me shout at you for a little bit. I feel like we had a good loose speak.
I feel like I was. Yeah, it was good. I was feeling good.
All right, so I'm gonna let us go. Just remember, check out the movie, check out the book as well. Remember, Jeffrey Dahmer could have been any one of your childhood friends. And if you have kids, a lot of you have kids, endlessly grill them about who they're connected to. You have to get in there, like, or do what my idea was, is being like, I'm going to have total surveillance put inside of every single bit of my kids' technology, and then they just don't understand that they're living in an Orwellian Big Brother environment. They're going to think they're totally free, but I'm going to be playing mind games with them.
There's like a whole level of cookies that come into your phone when you download this episode, and we learn all about your own private perversions.
That's every day. I hope. I want to. I want to know. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
This is like, it's actually a family movie. It's a family film. It's a family. It's a high school movie. You can come with your kids, bring them, see my friend Dahmer.
Come on, bring your kids. Let them know about it. Well, thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you so much.
Hail Satan, man.